we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of a Purely Arsenal podcast. I'm Jack Sessions, your host. I've got Neil Shah with me, top left-hand corner on YouTube. How you doing, Neil?
I'm good. Funtast almost fucked us, didn't he?
What was that? Nah, I was never in doubt. Also got Michael Harris with you. How you doing, Mike?
Evening, Jack. Evening, boys. Evening, everyone watching.
Like it. No Arsenal shirt from Mike today, but he's waiting for the big one on Sunday. James, though, has got a, I don't know if it's a classic, but he's got an Arsenal third shirt on.
That's yeah, sure. I'm glad I wore it for this week, not next weekend, because the omen. I'll definitely wear a different one next weekend if I'm on. I won't. Not for Man United away, but for Leicester. I mean, it's blue as well. That's not good for Leicester, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I've got so many of them. I went.
Have you got the one? Have you got the one where the year we'll be beating at 1-0 at Old Trafford when Meninga was in goal? Have you got that shirt?
I think I've got that one.
Overmars running through. What good times! What good times!
That's it.
Meninga was on fire at that point, wasn't he? Never really turned out for him, did it? We're going to get on to goalkeepers that have their moments, you know, and maybe
Left and gone to Aston Villa, shouldn't he?
Should have left and gone to Aston Villa, exactly. But you know, we just seen the Villa result, and obviously, you know, no one is perfect. We're all big fans of the keeper over there, and but we're supportive of Leno as well. We'll get into it. Lineups. Who wants to take lineups? James, let's go to you. Lineup. I want your thoughts on, was it what you expected? I know you put your lineup. I don't think you got exactly right, but you're pretty close. One or two surprises in there for me. Good to see Partey get his full debut. What were your thoughts?
Yeah. No, it was totally what I... I thought he'd rest certain people, obviously. Obviously, I knew for a fact Aubameyang weren't going to play. And you knew that Bellerin weren't going to play. But when you see Eddie and Ketty are out on the left-hand side, your mind boggles. And I didn't do the Man City game podcast. I said to you guys, look, I can't sit here and speak about it. I'm too angry. I'm too heated in this moment in time. I'll pass. And obviously a few days have gone and I have spoken about it since and everything else with other people and on my own channel and everything else. But I'm still angry from that. And then you come into this and again, questions have got to be asked now. And I know people go, oh, you can't say that about Arteta and everything. You've got to seriously ask these questions because he's picking the wrong players. He's putting them in the wrong positions. And also, it's detrimental to how we're playing. It is detrimental to how we're playing. Centre-backs, he had no choice. Mustafi, they've said he was in the squad, but everything that I've read indicates that he is not going to be fully match fit ready. I mean, there's people who are like, even if he is match fit, I don't want to see him. But he is apparently not fully match fit ready until after the 31st, you know, Halloween, if you want to call it that. That's apparently when he is meant to be properly, okay, you can go. So, and I mean, the best thing about Gabriel for me is, and another person that I do my videos with, Tom, he said it. He went, James, the best thing about Gabriel is that he's anonymous. And not as in like he's not doing anything, as in we don't speak about him. He's just consistent. There's nothing. He said every other Arsenal centre-back were always going, oh, bloody Louise, what's he doing? Oh, Kolasinac, what you doing? Oh, what you do? But he went, no one ever says a thing about Gabriel because they don't need to because he's class. Partey starting, you watch that and think, okay, if he can do that, why couldn't he do that a week ago? Because, and I'm sorry, I'll get all these people, oh yeah, but he only trained one time and he's learning a new system under Arteta and Arteta demands so much. This is a guy that's just come from playing from the most demanding manager next to Bielsa in the world. Do not tell me Mikel Arteta demands more from his footballers than Diego Simeone does. That guy is the biggest...
Do you just think, though, I mean, are you really... I mean, I kind of, you know, I didn't expect... Did you really expect him to start a C, though? I mean, I understand.
Yes, I did,
he's good enough.
Before he kicked the ball for Arsenal, he's already the best player.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with that. He's the best player
Arsenal have, and that was before he even kicked a ball.
No. He was
better than everybody there already.
No, I don't want to cut you off.
But and that includes Aubameyang. For no matter how much I love Aubameyang, he is better at what he does and what he can do, especially for this side at the moment, than anyone else that's in that squad.
It was a very impressive performance yesterday from him. I thought it was subtly superb. But my only argument there is I kind of didn't expect him to start against City, although he should. Just because of the moving countries for anyone is a nightmare in terms of, you know, transitioning. And I didn't really hold that one person. What I held against Arteta more was, why the 8 minutes? Why not 35 minutes? That was my issue, because clearly we needed it, right? So I get where you're coming from. I mean, I'm never doubting the fact that his talent looked far, far ahead of any midfielder on the pitch. I felt yesterday made 4 to 5 interceptions.
No, my problem was Aguero's been off for 4 months. 4 months. This guy played twice for Ghana. He's played nearly every game for Atletico in La Liga. And like I said, he's better than every single person you have. And this was the worst Man City side. We're not going to get Man City ever as bad as that ever again. Because Guardiola, for all intents and purposes, he doesn't care at the moment. He doesn't want to. He's literally clinging because he's gone at the end. All their defenders are in disarray. No De Bruyne. You had Sterling with half a hamstring.
I know. I get your point. I just feel, you know, to play devil's advocate a little bit, I think you'll start to... I think it's very, very soon. You know, he's going to be, you know, a mainstay in the team, no question. Just for that game, in terms of the point of the signing and, you know, all the build-up from the international break, etc. I know he had a couple of training sessions maybe with us. I personally could understand why he wouldn't have just thrown him straight in, even though he should have played in terms of quality. I can understand personally why he wouldn't have just thrown him straight in. What I do not understand is the lack of the change when it clearly wasn't going our way and we weren't really creating anything going forward. I don't really see what 8 minutes does for him. And I think we argued that on the last pod. We were like, the substitutions were odd.
Yeah. But to get back on topic, yeah. So from yesterday... like I said, he was stuck in the point of view of that there was an element of risk of the fact that we don't really have that much in reserve because of these injuries, especially defensively. And it was like, if this goes wrong for you here, it's, do you know what I mean? And I mean, the goalkeeper, you're going to touch on it later as well. But at the same time, this guy isn't pushing to challenge him. So that's why he's, because people keep saying to me, well, he is playing every single game. And I'm like, well, he did indicate that when he first come in, when we had that Olympiacos game, everyone was like, oh, so Martina. And he went, oh, no. I don't play my cupkeeper. He's like, my keeper's my keeper for everything. And he said that for that game against Olympiacos. So it wasn't a shock, but when you look at the performance, and you will touch on it later on, questions have got to be asked about him as well.
Yeah, I agree with you on the goalkeeper front. You know, was it expected, was it not? Again, with Runnison, we just don't know. He wasn't playing regular football at Dijon, right? He got dropped. So we know that this goalkeeping coach has worked with him. But we, you know, I get the feeling, yeah, he's definitely a number two, no question. And we're going to go back to the goalkeeper in a second because obviously it's a big part of the game. My two issues with the team was what you brought up at the start was Eddie Nketiah out left. We did this against Villa away, by the way, last season. We put him out right. And I understand almost everything Arteta's trying to do, like almost. I can never understand putting Laka or Eddie out wide because it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm not, you're not going to like it, James, but I'm not even convinced of Eddie in his natural position yet. So what are we putting him in his different position for? Do you know what I mean though? Like there's certain players you could Saka, throw him anywhere. Clearly, you know, this is a talent that you don't see. You know, you see once or twice a decade in a club. Do you know what I mean? Eddie Nketiah is someone you need to play him in his natural position. I didn't think he did himself any favours, but it's not really his fault. He's not a player that should be playing out on the wing. He's not a player that really does a lot outside the box at all, really. And that's just not the player that he is. So I agree with that. So you should have played Reece Nelson there if you're going to do something like that, in my opinion. There's a lot of arguments. I listened to a lot of podcasts that we're still... I felt since Sheffield United at home, the last part of it, and I don't like to talk about formations too much with Arteta because I think it's really hard to understand what he is doing formationally, game by system wise, game by game. But I really felt we've looked much more like a four at the back than a five at the back since that game, to be honest. Even City away, even though we sat low, I still felt it was a four at the back where Saka was our main outlet in the attacking midfield left side role, but certainly did not feel like he was playing at left wing back. That was my opinion. I felt it was weird that Reece Nelson didn't start with the way we set up. I felt it was very odd that there's not a lot of faith put in Ainsley Maitland-Niles to start if we are playing a flat back four. And we started Cedric, who is no way near athletically as good as Ainsley Maitland-Niles. And I think we're going to get on to Bellerin because I thought he had a great cameo. But defensively, if I'm going to evaluate Bellerin and Ainsley Maitland-Niles, I still actually think, although Ainsley Maitland-Niles hasn't looked very good in a back four, I still think Ainsley Maitland-Niles is a better one-on-one defender, to be honest. Stand-up tackler, one-on-one defender, faster, more athletic. Find it a little bit odd that Ainsley Maitland-Niles decided to stay because the manager showed faith in him, yet he can't get into what is basically our backup team at the moment. So, and fitness wise is no issue, right? So I find that a little bit odd. We don't have to touch on that. I just found that a little bit odd. To go away from James for a second, Neil, James touched it a little bit. The style thing and mentioning we're 18th in shots in the league. I know we've played City and Liverpool, but this isn't something that's just happened. We were like this last season with and without Arteta. We don't create a lot. Now, there's an argument there that you need a creative player. We all know, you know, the issues with the creative position, and we can talk about that. But the solution from the previous manager was to basically use players that just weren't natural in that position. And it's not just about the creative player, though, Neil. What it really is about, what I see anyway, is the lack of movement and imagination and willingness to basically do what we did for the second goal and go, you know, take a chance on a run so we can thread balls. You can only pass to players that are making movements. And I think our movement in the final third this season has been absolutely atrocious. And, you know, I think it's been terrible, Neil. So basically my question to you is he has to find a solution for this and fast, because with all the stuff that's happening off the field with, the best paid mascot in the world that we're paying to be on Twitch and all this sort of stuff, it is going to come down on him like a ton of bricks, like it did for the previous manager, isn't it? And now he's excluding him entirely, which I personally agree with completely. We can get into that if you want. He has to find solution, and his solutions can't be as dumb as Guendouzi, Willock, Torreira type players in the hole that you know are never going to work. It has to be from the collective, and it can't just be about that one player. I'm just trying to think, where do you think the solution is? Because I'm not enjoying watching us at all.
No, I mean, the substitutions in the second half gave us the ability to do what you've just outlined, run at the players. We needed runners. We didn't have any runners. Bellerin became that runner for the lead up to that second goal, you know, running behind the defenders, running behind the lines, breaking the lines, spreading the play, dissecting the play, some of which Partey was showing great ability with. The solution, don't know. You know what I'm going to say. There's a player that's there who hasn't broken through yet. I think could be very much the solution for us. And that's that youngster called Emil Smith Rowe. But he's, you know, he hasn't got the experience in my book. He hasn't got enough minutes on the pitch. So what is the solution? We had one game where I remember Saka and Willian were kind of interchanging the left and the number 10 position, which kind of worked for us. That could be a solution, but I think he's got to go with Oba in the middle now. Oba in the middle, I think, will give us more creativity. Partey now being there and showing evidence of breaking those lines will also, I think, help those runners and creative players. But I think it's about courage. I don't know what kind of ethos Arteta is instilling. I mentioned on the last pod that you've got to work from the back, which he's done. He talked about off the ball movement. He's cracked it with our defence, I think. All right, we can talk about the goal a bit later, but that was just a bit of a comedy show and an error, and hopefully it's a one off. But generally, he's got our off the ball movement working for the defence. We can now start working on that going forward, further up the pitch, and employing the right personnel to do these things, then I think that might be a solution. But I think he's got to now really focus on Oba in the middle, because Oba in the middle, I think, gives us more of a spread of different players. You know, we're not utilising Pepe enough. He should be running. He should be one of these runners. He's got the ability to run at defenders. He's got the skill. He's got the trickery. But we're just not utilising. We keep, like I said it the last time, we keep doing everything focused on the left-hand side. Let's spread the play a little bit. Let's be a bit more imaginative with it. So for me, that's a possibility, but you guys probably...
Can I just come in there, Neil? Were you encouraged, though? Were you encouraged that... And it wasn't a game full of positives, but were you encouraged that both our goals came really through the right-hand side? I mean, Pepe, you know, won the free kick and then great delivery for the first.
Yeah.
Involved in the second. Yeah. I don't have the stats because it won't come up on my system, but a lot more touches for Pepe. I liken him to, at the moment, and I don't want to sort of almost like a worse version of Alexis Sanchez. Keep giving them the ball, he'll lose it a lot and you'll get really frustrated, but you'll probably end up creating something or scoring in a game. That's what I get the feeling. But if you don't give him the ball and you become really one side biased, I think he hates that. You have to keep giving him the ball. The more you give him the ball, the better he gets. To be honest, if I'm rewatching the last 20 minutes now, and he is our best player in the last 20 minutes for me. Everything goes through him. Everything runs through him. And Bellerin probably helps that because he really does well. But were you encouraged a little bit by that? It was a poor performance, Neil. We only started playing when they scored, which was really frustrating. But were you encouraged by that? You've frozen on my screen, but let me see if your sound's okay. I'll come back to Neil. He's completely frozen. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you in terms of you know, Pepe. You know, the stuff, all the attacks going down the left hand side. Yeah, I think he's someone that you keep giving the ball to, because he seems like when he gets the ball, eventually he you know, a little bit of pressure on him to do something and to produce. But I mean, I missed the second half. So from what you're saying, if that's what's happened, and that's happened because Bellerin, he's got maybe more of a bit of a on the same wavelength as Bellerin as such, then with Cedric, from what I saw in the first half, he looked like he was really struggling with the physical side of things, and he kept on, you know, trying to dive in and stuff, and, you know, try and throw, compensate for his lack of athleticism, I should say. But yeah, Pepe, I mean, you know, I'm still up, you know, not sure about him, to be perfectly honest, but, you know, if he's, you know, he started pulling up some trees at the end of the season, and that was again because we were feeding him more. I can't remember what game it was. I think was it the Fulham game where there were loads of times when he was just open and he just wasn't getting. Well, no, it wasn't the Fulham. Well, I can't remember what game it was, but there was a game where he was just open. Yeah,
in the
League Cup. Yeah, that's it. And he was just open all the time, and like the pass was on. He had this young kid on toast, and, you know, and in the latter stages, and they just weren't passing to him. They were just switching it out to the left all the time. So yeah, we got to use him. And touching on what Neil said as well, yeah, I mean, it's got to the point now, you've got to play Aubameyang up top. You know, just playing people out a position, you know, with Eddie and stuff. You know, he looked frustrated, to be honest. You know, he got himself a booking, and he was getting some jip. You know, for me, I don't know if it was me.
He was lucky to not be sent off, wasn't he, Mike? A little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if it was me, but from what I could see in the first half, whenever a black player got the ball, there was jeers. I don't know if that was just me keeping, because I keep an eye out for that stuff like that. And I heard that every time he got the balls, but especially in that corner, he was getting jeered. Yeah, it was a frustrating night for him. But I would, you know, like Neil said, you know, play Aubameyang at the top, because again, he's going to, you know, when he plays out on the left, he has, for the last couple of games, he's drawn a lot of attention. You know, he's had two people on him against City, practically. Against Liverpool, he had zero shots, zero basically performance in terms of numbers. If you play him up front, you know, he pushes whoever's marking him back a bit, maybe presses the line back a little bit because of his pace, and that will just give us more, a little bit more space to operate in midfield. And if you've got someone like Partey there, and maybe Danny alongside him, that just gives us a little bit more space to be creative and to make runs into, because again, that's what you're saying, what you said, Jack, is right. we're not brave enough up there. Arteta's done some great work keeping us stable and keep not letting us make any, you know, drastic mistakes, and like we did for the goal. But it's like he's overcompensated a little bit, and we've got to, like, you know, take the handbrake off just to be a little bit more show a little bit more fear up front, and hopefully that starts at the weekend, because, you know, Leicester are just going to be a counter attack job. That's what they're going to be set up for. But yeah, we need to play. You know, we're talking about the spine, and we've got Partey there, we've got Gabriel, we've got to put Aubameyang through the middle now to give us a chance.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's all moving towards that. I'm very curious as to what he does Sunday. We're going to come to that lineup again in a second. I wonder for away games whether putting him centrally may isolate him more with the way we're playing. We have to be better at getting the ball through lines. Otherwise, he's not a player that really can play with his back to goal. And there's an argument to say that Lacazette isn't at the moment, but he's not really. So we have to get better at playing the ball through lines. Otherwise, but really, he was encouraged by his goal, best move of the game, but also he scored from a central position as well, which was nice to see. I thought. Mike, just sticking with you before I go to James, just because you were touching on the number nine position. Lacazette, he's coming for Pelters, obviously. He didn't have a good game. Didn't play well. Missed a chance towards the end where he couldn't get it out of his feet. I don't think he's been generally... I still am very frustrated that he got dropped for the Sheffield United game after getting 3-3 and he dropped him, and it didn't make any sense to me. But where do you see Lacazette now? Like, obviously, if you want to move him centrally, he's really going to be an off-the-bench player, isn't he? But... do you feel we're just moving away from that kind of that style of player, or do you feel he's just not good enough in that role anymore?
It could be after the Liverpool game. You know, obviously he got dropped. You know, we're not privy to what happens on the trading ground, but yeah, he's looked a bit heavy legged the first half especially, and again he picked himself a soft card, and that could have affected his performance as well. You know, that referee, he's one of those typical UEFA referees. Get caught in the spotlight. You know, he probably, when he found out he had Arsenal, he probably got all extra tickets for his family and friends to be in the stadium and to see him officiate, because he probably officiates in a league that no one knows about or no one watches. So he was really officious, and he was, you know, dishing out cards that were getting out of fashion, and that affected anyone's performance. You could see it threw Partey when he got one as well. He was thinking, what did I get that for? And you know, he put his arm out, but he didn't went to smash the guy in the face, and you see that affected his game. So that could have been a part of it, but I just think with what Arteta wants Lacazette to do, I think when he first came in, I'll do it, boss. You know, he'll put the effort in. I think maybe now he's getting a bit, you know, I'm running and running and running and running, and you know, I'm not really sort of getting anything at the other end. I know he did at the start of the season, but since then he's got dropped, and now he's been sort of edged back in. So if you go with Aubameyang up front, which I think you need to now, that just means he's going to feature off the bench now, and then that just basically then means Eddie doesn't feature, you know, as much because of the minutes. So, you know, it's all going to change. Obviously, when the chosen one comes back, when Martinelli comes back, and he's on the left hand side, and everything, we haven't really got to worry about it so much. But yeah, I think if you play Aubameyang up front, you know, then that just means Lacazette's got to spend a bit more time out, and then obviously that affects his confidence again. But I think now we're past the point now. We've just got to play our strongest players in the best positions, and worry about the other stuff later. We've already got one player who's not even been registered, so he's probably lucky that he is on the pitch getting minutes rather than at home playing Twitch and live streaming the game.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the frustration with him is, and a lot of it's his fault in a way, just looks like one game out for Lacazette, and he's not fit. You know, he just doesn't look fit. He doesn't look like he can't get the ball out of his feet. You play him 5-6 games and he'll start.
Hang on, can I just sorry, Jack, can I just interrupt? Sorry, it's just totally off topic. They're still showing the Van Dijk replay on Sky Sports News. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Oh, my gosh. Pray. Let's all pray. Jeez, flipping heck, I tell you. Unbelievable. You should listen to some of the Liverpool fans chatting about when James Rodriguez got injured by Van Dijk about 30 minutes before it. Yeah, that was interesting. We'll say no more about that one. But just to go back to Lacazette, it's frustrating from my perspective. I'm also a big Lacazette fan, and I can understand why fans are giving him pelters. He's clearly not the player that he was, you know, a year, 18 months ago with us when he was the player of the season, rightly, I felt. But that was a long time ago. And he just looks like he needs to play constantly to keep himself sharp. And we can't always do that because Arteta's not really necessarily convinced that he's given enough from that number nine position. My concern is it's another risk, because if you're not creating a lot, then what you need is you need players that can score. And other than Aubameyang, whether we think Lacazette scores enough, he's the next one that will finish one in two or one in three, right? So the issue there is we've got to get goals from elsewhere, and I'm not really seeing it enough. And if we're not doing that, then, you know, I'm going to be going, well, maybe we should start both of them again, you know, like we were, you know, even under Emery a while back, we were going, it doesn't really make sense to start both of them. It doesn't really balance, but there's no goals coming from anywhere else. So start both of them, because if we do get one chance, we create very few chances. So if you're going to get them, you hope they fall to someone that can put them away. That's what it is. But what we really need to do, and the answer is to create far more chances and be far more intelligent and expansive going forward. And I think we are concerned there, James. I mean, you touched on it a little bit, that we're never going to see, I think we've already come to terms with the fact, we're never going to see an Arsene Wenger-like expansive system, free-flowing under Mikel Arteta. I don't think we're ever going to see that, to be honest. But nice, see the book. But that's okay, because Arsene Wenger probably was the most expansive footballing coach, you know, the league scene, I'd say, beyond Pep, beyond Klopp, footballing wise. I mean, if you remember when we were 1-0 down, he just put four attackers on. He wouldn't think about where they play. You'd play games and you'd be like, we got Reyes, Bergkamp, Henri, Wiltord, all on the same pitch. And he'd just play five attackers. He's like, just pummel their goal, right? He just said pummel their goal. And he wouldn't worry about what was behind. And I think what's really encouraged me about this game, just to touch back on Partey, was his ability to recover the ball high up the pitch and intercept. I think he had four interceptions, five recoveries. And that's something we've really lacked. And that sustained pressure that we saw in the last 20 minutes, even though it was really poor early on in the game, was I was really encouraged about. I thought Partey got better and better as the game went on. But just go to the incidents in the game. The goal, James, it's really, you're going to love moaning about Leno, I think, but it's really all on Leno for me. There was a lot, some pelters about Luis giving the ball back. It's a ball that we've been playing back ever since Arteta's come back. So could have cleared it, like Arteta said, could have played it back to Luis. Don't play it down the centre of your goal while waiting for the defender, for the attacker to come right into you. But it's in a mistake you're going to make if you're going to play this risky game of playing out of the back. Do we just have to accept that that's going to happen, James?
Yeah. Just want to say, you guys, you know, I don't want to be nasty about it. You guys are of an older generation than me. Do you guys remember? I look older than all of you. That's the worst thing. I sleep on my face. That's how it goes. I go like that, head first into the pillow, and it just squashes it all. So I look older. Anyway.
Be careful, James. Careful, son.
I wondered where that was going for a second.
Look. You guys. Now, I briefly, as a child, read Snoopy. If you guys watch Snoopy or read Snoopy, Bert Leno is Linus from Snoopy. He has his little blanket of David Luiz, and I'll play my safe little 5-yard ball to David. I've got to have my little David Luiz blanket. I'll play my five yard. We are so. Listening to you in my ears already, Jack, is lovely. There's something about your voice, mate. It's wonderful. It's fantastic, you know. But, hey, calm it down. But what you're saying is it's so predictable. Any team, like Rapid Vienna anyway, I don't know much. They're the next best team to Salzburg, so I'll give them some credit. But any team know to press us high, and like you said, especially if he starts on the left, isolate Aubameyang so that he's the one who's crossing the ball and he's not getting in behind, because when he crosses the ball, there's nothing. They've got nobody. They've got no one of any stature, any presence in the air. So let him do that. Just completely get him out of the game completely, and they're useless. But he's so predictable. Like, for me, I think to myself, he's had one or two where he plays it 5 yards, plays it five. He's going to go long in the end, just as a curveball. that he never does. And I don't understand it. And I don't know if that's because he is coached to never, ever play that long ball. Or is it part of him's like, if I play that long, who's really going to hold it up? Because like you've said, none of them are very good back to goal. So who is going to hold that ball up? And sometimes when he does dink it long, he's trying to dink it to the fullbacks. But then our fullbacks aren't really a stature either. And to be fair, Cedric played yesterday. And again, I've still got massive reservations about this guy. I was watching him yesterday thinking to myself, I've got four more years of you. Really? Like, four more years? I'm like, I can't. You can't sustain that. And if you are going to sustain that, then you've got to up your level, because I'm like, apart from a few crosses and he can score a penalty in some shootouts that we've seen, what do you do? What are you? Like Arsene Wenger always used to say, when you buy better or you buy to replace. Was what we had in reserve, like, is this boy at Cardiff who's pulling up trees at Cardiff? OC, is it OC Tutu or something his name is? Ossie Totu or something?
Oh, yeah, fullback, yeah, like, yeah, loaned out.
I'm like, Cedric better than this. I mean, when we loaned him from Southampton, they couldn't believe it, because one, he was injured, and secondly, they were like, this guy's out of contract in the summer. What are they? They're like, yeah, you take, please take him. And if he's not good enough for Southampton, unless I'm not slagging off Southampton in any way, but if he is not good enough for Southampton, what makes him good enough for Arsenal?
Yeah, I mean, there's a point there, and I think that signing really strikes me as an agent-led signing, which we've moved away from now since Real left. It's a real dodgy one.
It screams again of when the Pepe signing was made, and that guy's come in, is it Tim something or other that's investigated it all?
Yeah. The legal side, financial side.
Yeah, I think this is another one that he's probably added to the Pepe one, going, he's only here because of the mates.
And the issue, just beyond that, James, the issue with the player is when you buy, and if you're playing a system like Arteta is, which really is looking for key types of players, like hybrid types of players in certain positions and very, very key types of players, when you want to replace them, you want to replace them with like for like. Cedric is nothing like Bellerin. He doesn't bomb on. He's not as athletic. He's nothing like Niles. So we completely have to change the way we play, right? His goal, Cedric, is to push the ball out of his feet and whip the ball in, no matter where he's from, really. And he's not got a bad delivery. Arteta says he's got the best delivery in our final third out of our fullbacks. Maybe right, but we got no one that can head it, so what's the bloody point in that anyway? So it doesn't make any sense. We need a fullback that is constantly bombing on, running between the lines, overlapping, like we scored the second goal. And I don't see any evidence that Cedric provides that, really. Whilst if he does get into those positions, his final ball may be better than what we think. I find it a bit odd. I think it's agent-led deal. He's on 70 grand a week, and I agree with you. We're going to be regretting it for the next 3 years or so, probably. The only good thing about it is there wasn't a massive fee attached to it, as far as we know. But yeah, not really been convinced by Cedric, and I don't think that's fair. But to move off that a little bit, Neil, obviously James touched on the Leno error, which we all agree is a Leno error. David Kanyeda @David_KNY, he's in Gothenburg. Is Gothenburg Sweden, is it? Where's Gotham?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Gotham. Okay, he's in Gotham. All right, David. I know David always sends in, but I couldn't remember where he was.
This is where Batman's from, isn't it? Gotham.
Yeah, that's what I looked. I was trying to make sure the spelling was right. But he said, Neil, would love to hear opinions about the Luis Leno partnership. Now, Luis came out today and said, you hate this question already. Luis came out today and you know, really backed Leno and did what all good sort of leaders would do, and says, you know, Leno's amazing. You know, it's just there. It's going to happen. This is the way we play. We have to continue playing like this, etc. But the eye test on the pitch and the way they interact with each other on the pitch and the amount of complications they've had on the pitch together. I mean, since Leno's come in at the start of the season, and we all fully support Leno, even, and I don't really want to touch too much on Martinez, though I think it comes up in a question. Since he's come in, there's been a lot of one-on-one issues. There was two in this game, one the pass back, which was Leno's fault. But then soon after that, Luis is in complete control. And Leno just flies out of his box, smashes the ball right into Luiz. So there is an issue there, isn't there, Neil? The game's all about partnerships and trust. And I'm not seeing it between a centre-back that's going to play most games and a goalkeeper that's going to play every game. It has to be a bit of a concern, Neil, doesn't it?
Yeah, it has to be. I think this is something that James touched on really well a little while back. I don't know whether he said it on the podcast or in our WhatsApp group, but he talked about his concerns over the relationship between those two players, which is vital. You know, that's our backbone of our defence. Has to be there. You have to have a relationship, any goalkeeper with all of his defenders, but especially the two centre-backs for sure. And if there's a slight breakdown, you know, that's going to complicate things for us. Maybe Luis had a fantastic relationship with Emi Martinez and he was kind of a little bit, maybe a bit bitter that he's gone and now he has to try and forge something with Leno, and it doesn't apparently, from what we see, as you said, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, to be working as well as we might like. But to be honest, Jack, this is what we've got. This is what we're stuck with now. And for me, if I was manager, I'd be telling them both to pull their socks up. If they've got any issues on the pitch, they've both got to grow up and they've got to sort it out, because this is about Arsenal Football Club. It's not about their interpersonal relationship. If they're not the best of friends off the pitch, don't care. They're there to do a job at the end of the day. It's all nice, all being pally-pally and getting on, but they've got to improve on that communication. Because that's one thing that James alluded to as well. This should have been James's question, but if he doesn't mind, I'll say he was right that you don't see that vocal kind of presence from Leno, especially to Luiz. You've got to keep barking orders. You've got to keep shouting out. You've got to have that two-way thing going on. And I'm sorry, but that goal, that was atrocious. I mean, Adrian Clarke, I really like Adrian Clarke and I respect him. And I saw his life breakdown. And he kind of sort of said it was also a bit of Luiz's fault as well. You can't just blame Leno. But I didn't see it. I kept looking, watching that back. And for me, that was all Leno. You know, he had so much time to put that ball to safety. And I don't know what he was thinking. I don't think Luiz put him in any unnecessary danger at all.
Sorry to interrupt. Guys, he's made three individual errors this season already.
Yeah.
We've played eight games. We've played eight games and he's made three already.
Just to throw in a question to you there, and maybe bring it back to Neil, but Mike can also have a go. Is you know, we've discussed this. Melvin Mark says, you know, at what stage would it be acceptable to just discuss the sale of Martinez and not Leno without being called a divisive Arsenal fan? But we did discuss this a while back, Neil, and we were quite understanding from the club's perspective that you had one guy that was on 25 grand a week and another guy that was on 100 grand a week. So we can't go back on that really and discuss it more. The club's made the decision to make the sale. Maybe they needed the funds, maybe they didn't. Maybe it was the player pushing for the move more, whatever. We've made the decision. Whether it's the right one or not, we if we keep talking about it, it may well not be. What we have to do is we have to find a way to get this goalkeeper to be as consistent as possible and work well with a consistent back four, don't we, Neil?
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, look, we're not going to know about the financial affairs of the club. To be honest, I don't want to. I want to watch football. I'm not interested in the financial affairs. For me, it's about the game. But if any part of that money that was used to get Partey, then I'm all for it. Because Partey is crucial for me. He's proved it in one game. He's proved how important he is in one game. One game, for goodness sake. Very much like Gabriel did on his debut. He had 10 rusty minutes. And let's not forget one thing about Partey's performance. Sorry, I'm digressing, but just want to say one thing. For most of that game, he was on a yellow card and he still got better throughout that game. Now, that is some doing for a debutant in the Premiership. Massive. So that, not in the Premiership, but, you know, in playing for a Premiership team and playing a game in Europe, it's huge. So let's not forget that. So if any of that funding from Martinez's sale was for Partey, then I'm all for it. But you know me, you used to ask the question, is there any way that we can keep both keepers to the club? I was all for it. I would have loved to have seen Leno fight for his place. I think Arteta should have made Martinez number one, and I think Leno should have fought for his place back. That's what I think should have happened.
Yeah.
I think now the problem is Leno hasn't got any real challenges. Well, we don't know what this Runnison's going to be about. I don't know.
That is exactly why. because he feels he's infallible. Because he got, like I said, three individual errors in eight games, but he can make them errors because who's taking my place?
No one.
The real issue there is
Matt Macy ain't taking my place.
Really risky. Because, yeah. I mean, in fairness, a lot of clubs do this, right? City, their number ones are given. Liverpool, their number ones are given. But you see when one of them gets injured, how much it can affect the team and how much their level can drop. You know, Adrian makes a mistake every game almost. You know, it's just a liability. So it's not great for that reason. And the only other argument there is, and I don't want to go too much into it, is if we needed the funding, could we have sold elsewhere while not weakening the first 11? And I personally think there was teams, you know, I'm not saying I don't think we should have sold Niles, but if Niles can't get into our Europa League team, maybe we should have sold Niles because he would have gone for more money. Do you know what I mean? So that's the part of it that I don't really understand. There's a, and I'm almost certain there's a couple of youngsters that you could have sold for a similar price.
We all really know the reason why Martinez was sold. We all know the reason.
Well, you said it's to fund Mesut Ozil's wage, right?
Of course, it might well be.
But
it's been said. It's been said by more than just me. Because we are skint from sadly being in this competition. Before a ball is kicked, when you qualify for the Champions League, you earn $33.5 million just for being in it. You get 18 for being in the Europa. Now, factor in, we're in that, but there's also no fan revenue whatsoever. Whatsoever. This guy is the only one, I come back to it again, I know we said we weren't going to mention him, he's the only one that didn't take his pay cut. He's the only one that didn't take his pay cut. So he's paying full whack. Now, bear in mind, he's the top earner. Now, he nearly earns double what the third earner is on. I think the third highest earner is Willian. And he nearly earns double a year what Willian earns. So we need to supplement this guy who doesn't even play games for us, his income. And I mean, today, his agent to slag off Arteta, saying he had 2 years where he just went scot-free at the end. And Mikel Arteta took a pay cut to play for this club. He took less money than he was earning at Everton to join this club. And you got, why don't you as an agent try and get your player? Why are you going on the radio digging out his current employer? Because all your player's talking about is how desperately he wants to get back in. How's he going to get back in when you're slagging off it, you're slagging off the employer? I think Neil didn't like the fact we're talking about him and he's gone.
He's frozen. I've readmitted him, but let's see. He's been in a little Wi-Fi issues and stuff like that.
Do you know what I mean? He took a pay cut to join the club, and you've got your agent having a go when all you're talking about is how badly you want to come back in, how much you love it, how much he should be telling his agent, hey, why don't you shut up? Why don't you be quiet?
I mean, just because I don't want to go too much into it, because I feel like we've ran the Ozil deal like to the ground. I mean, I agree with everything you're saying, but my issue always comes back to what happens on the pitch. So my biggest concern is not that I don't think Arteta's handled it perfectly. Only if he finds a solution, though. He has to find the solution. It doesn't have to be the player. It can be multiple players. It can be flipping every one of them becoming creative for all I care. But he has to find a solution, because otherwise this is going to be toxic, toxic, toxic week in, week out. I want to bring Mike back in on the game. The two goals, Mike, touch on the two goals. What were your thoughts on the two goals? I mean, we're really in trouble. A 1-0 down. You've got to start well in the Europa League. You've got to. You want those last two games to be able to rest players if you can and things like that. And the urgency just switched as soon as they scored. And we've said this beyond Arteta before Arteta with these same players. I mean, what is the issue there? Why can't we not start with that movement and that urgency? Because I thought we were terrific once we went 1-0 down.
Yeah, reminded me of the old Arsenal days where we used to have performances against teams we should be turning over, and we just was waiting. You can see we in those games we were creating loads of chances, and we were just saying to ourselves, "Oh, you know what's going to happen, isn't it? They're going to have one chance and they're going to score, and then it's batten down the hatches and throw every kitchen sink, and then we snatch victory." But yeah, it's from what I heard, the last 20 minutes or so, we sort of seemed like we got into the groove a little bit and were a bit more fluid. Obviously, Luiz's goal was well taken, getting up well from the delivery from Pepe. And yeah, as you said, the move which led to Aubameyang's goal. You could see, you know, the relief for him to finally get on the score sheet. But yeah, it's you know, just touching back on the whole, you know, movement and just being a bit, you know, unleashed a little bit, you know, the restrictions of this, having this solid defensive base, which is what we've got. You know, it's almost like you know, just let the defenders defend. You know, we've got a guy in there now, you know, Partey, who's going to help out on that side. So just hopefully now, starting from Sunday, it builds. You know, Leicester are a good side, but you know, we proved in the game, you know, in the League Cup game, and in the game at the Emirates when we drew 1-1 and we were hanging on, but we played really well. I remember that first half, we played really well, and we were, I think we were only a goal up, and then obviously Vardy scored his customary goal, and then obviously Eddie got sent off and we were hanging on. So I just hope, you know, that game allows us to be a bit more on the front foot. Obviously we got United soon, but we've got Liverpool and City out of the way, and I've said after I think I said on the WhatsApp group, we shouldn't be going into any game now against anybody with any sort of you know, defensive cautious outlook. You know, we should be playing the players where they should be played, in their strongest positions, and looking to impose and dominate. And I think that's what's going to happen now. It's all midfield. You know, you get that sorted out now. You know, he's got the defence sorted out. Sort that midfield out. We've got someone in there. Is it going to be Danny Ceballos against alongside him? Is it going to be Xhaka? Is it going to be both? Is he going to put Saka in the middle? You know, and then maybe, you know, so he's got options, but as you said, Jack, he's got to make the right one. You know, you can't be going into games and having zero shots on target in the first half and this like, you know, side to side football. We need to be more. More forward passes, and again, keep touching back to him. It just shows you, as Neil was saying, you know, what a massive part he's going to play. You know, because he's doing both sides, and from what I saw in the first half and second half, you know, the clips, you know, this guy is going to be so huge for us. Just got to hope that everyone else rises to the challenge and gets inspired and motivated by playing alongside someone who's a top. You know, operator in that midfield.
Really interesting.
Can I just come in one thing?
Yeah, go on.
Sorry. For the second goal, we can't not mention El Neni's pass.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
See, everyone says he's a sideways passer, Neil. But if there's no movement in front of him, he's going to be a sideways passer in a way. Create the movement.
Yeah, true.
And El Neni, I'm not saying he's the most expansive player we've got, but he's coachable, like we've said. He fills in, does his job. He's always a 7 out of 10 player. I thought he was very good even before he created, to be honest.
Yeah, but you're right.
Look how good he was yesterday playing with Thomas Partey. It was like... And I'm trying not to get too carried away, because I know people are saying Arsenal fans are getting really carried away with him. But do you remember when Luis Suarez first got into Liverpool and they had dog shit players? But with Luis Suarez, he raised all of them up an extra 10, 15, some of them 20%. And I tell you what, I have not seen El Neni play, like you said, not even just play forward. He did some other champagne passes in that game. And I'm like, he's being a bit more... Oh, I'm going to risk it here. Maybe try something new, because I've got the guy behind me who's got the broomstick in his ass that just sweeps everything. He sweeps up everything. This is it. You talking about this system and everything else. We don't have to play five at the back anymore, because we've got the player that if stuff hits the fan, he isn't like Xhaka and Ceballos where he's immobile when it looks like he's running through treacle and custard. This guy can run and get that ball back. And then if he doesn't, Gabriel's there and Gabriel will sort it.
It's basically having saying, you know, when we used to have Sol Campbell, Torre and Gilberto, everyone can bomb on, because you knew those three would sweep up everything.
It's safe. You can change the system now. You don't have to, because people are going, no, we need that Aouar, we need that. No.
Just to come in on that, I do think he's trying. In fairness to Arteta, I always think there was going to be a transition period from last season where we went to a back three and had to be really solid, because we were basically playing Liverpool and City every week. So we had to change. which is why, you know, certain number 10s
weren't defenders
admitted.
Weren't good enough. The reason and you play three at the back is
the defenders weren't good enough.
Ain't good enough.
But
good
without enough. That, we obviously don't win. We don't go on to win the cup final. But there was always watching that. We were all watching it going, this is fantastic. Like, the way he's setting us up and just breaking when we can. But we all knew that long term, that could never work, because the majority of games that Arsenal play, they're going to be like this, where you have 65% of the ball and you have to create against two banks of four that are going to try and basically do what we did towards the latter end of last season, right? So there was always going to be this transition, because the whole team had been blurted into playing in a way that was very, you know, stand off, low block, right? Break when you can, but get back in, fill your positions, fill the holes. And there was always going to be this transition. But the concern is he's got to nail down who his best, who his front three is. He's got, other than Aubameyang, if we said who is our front three, we'd all come up with different answers. And you can't have that. You have to nail down your front three, right? You have to nail it down and go with it for as often as you possibly can. Look at Liverpool. They never change it. They never change it. Everyone that plays for them, even if they're good, they're very accustomed to the fact that they're a bench player and they're only going to come in if someone gets injured, because that three is playing twice a week, no matter what. And I'm not saying we go quite to that extreme with the Europa League, but we have to get to the point where he starts to really put in his best players on who he trusts. Too much switching and changing. I understand for the Europa League, we're gonna change it a little bit. But agree, I thought Elneny was really good. I thought he was very... him and Partey had the best pass success rate with 90% and 88.6%. Obviously, had a lot of the ball, but some good decisive passes in there. And I liked the way Partey was spreading the ball out to the right. I just felt Pepe was getting more on the ball, and I felt a large part of that was because Partey and Elneny were just starting to feed him more, which was really, really good to see. But... couple of other questions. Mike, let's go to you for this question. Where is it? Hold on. Sorry. It was a good question from... I can't even bloody find it. What am I doing? Where are we? There's so many people tweeting, I can't find the bloody question. Let's go back to this one. Here we go. We'll go to this one. At Team Talk KT. Thank you, KT. Do you think Mikel Arteta is maybe one of his biggest problems, that he raised expectations? We won a trophy. Earliest a manager for Arsenal would ever won a trophy in. So high in such a short period of time that it's easy to forget that with the whole COVID pandemic, he says, you know, we've only really had him for 6 months. And do you think our expectations are raised too much? Or do you think we're being quite realistic that we need to now see the performances, the progressive, expansive performances for us to really push on?
I think a bit of both, to be fair. Got to remember the players and, a lot of the players, pardon me, that we had towards the end he moulded into this unit were players that, you know, to a certain extent, maybe were let down maybe by Emery and, you know, the other way around, and those players let down Arsene Wenger as well. So for him to do what he did, you know, and to pull off the cup win is a great achievement. And yes, that's probably got us all buzzing and thinking, we're top four, because obviously the teams that we beat along the way, and obviously beating Liverpool as well. But yeah, it's funny. When you look at the signings as well, you know, if you're going to make a signing like Partey, that's a statement signing. So you can't sign someone like him and get him off a club like Atletico, and you know, take him away from the Champions League and put, you know, and then say, okay, well, you know, we're just going to, you know, top six is fine if you get it. No, you know, he's saying it himself. He knows what the targets are. He knows where we need to be as a club. So I don't think it's, we're over expecting too much for us to be, to finish in the top four. I think that's what three or four of us expect. Anything else, anything more than that is a bonus, but that is the target, you know, whether it's through the Europa League, which, who knows, because you have that, the teams that drop down in it, so you don't know what's going to happen. But for me, I don't think it's, we're expecting too much. We've got one of the best strikers in the world. We've got a defender who's come in and done really well. We've got one of the best midfielders in the world. We just need to tweak that the creative size, and continue and keep moving on. And I think we'll be all right. But you imagine what it would have been like if the Emirates was packed with fans. You'll get the moaners and groaners, and you get the people who are buzzing and happy with the way things are going. So I'm happy with how things are going. I'm sure we all are, but we just want to tweak that little bit of going forward in the last third. But I don't think we're over again expectations to think that we shouldn't be finishing in the top four. I don't think there's anything else for us to be worried about. Everyone's dropping points and letting in goals that are going out of fashion, apart from us, touch wood. We've got, especially after tonight, I think we've got the best defence in the league after what happened to Villa tonight. So let's, I think we'll be there or thereabouts. I think we've gone past that little curve now. Once party settles and if Aubameyang's played in his proper position, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree. I think the expectations for performances, etc., I think we've got to start seeing more. We read a really good article. I don't know who it's from. I think it was Tim Stillman that wrote the article. A little bit of rubbing on your wire, Mike, when you were talking. Sorry, no, it's probably just excitement and moving against you or something. I don't know. It basically said last season, everyone that finished in the top four was creating about 14 to 15 shots a game. Arsenal were down at like 9 or 10, right? And if you look through the whole of the top fours, that they create 14 to 15 shots per game, right? Even Leicester, I think last season, had like 14 shots per game. So basically, we're not creating enough volume of chances. We're no way near creating enough volume of chances. And I think that's partly to do with sometimes we get in the position and we just don't take the shot, right? We just don't unleash the shot. I mean, the amount of times Mane and Salah balloon stuff over the bar, right? But we don't take those opportunities. Look at Lacazette's one yesterday. How do we not get a shot off there from anyone? How do you not get a shot off? Do you know what I mean? He's one-on-one, 10, no one's near him. He can't get the ball out of his feet and it doesn't count as a chance, doesn't count anything. So there's situations like that. But you don't want, I want to see us more varied. I don't want it to be always having to play out the back and create the perfect move to create a goal, because it's just not going to happen that often. We have to win the ball higher up. We have to create chances from winning the ball higher up and getting runners in behind and through the lines. That leads us to a little bit on the Leicester game. We had one more question. At Barrage Simon says, we had two more questions. I get we've got to be patient, but our performances seem to enjoy possession like we did yesterday, but lack tempo, pace, quick passing. Is this Arteta's instruction, or do you just don't think we have the quality within the squad? I can answer that one if you guys want to. I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I mean, a little bit of both. We worry we don't have the creative quality, but I think the movement is the biggest thing.
No, the quality's there, Jack. The quality's there.
Do you think, who are you looking at for creative quality? I mean, I think Saka has to start, but we've got to be careful with him as a 19-year-old.
See, the difficulty for me is that we're looking at it and it's like the DJ Casper song, Cha Cha Slide, but the CD scratched. So when it says to the left, then to the right, it just goes to the left, to the left, to the left, because the CD scratched. All our goals, the last four goals we've scored, have come from the right-hand side. The pitch is massive. We have now got, as well as Granit Xhaka, who's very good, is one of the best facets of his game. We've also got Thomas Partey that goes ping, 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 ping. The creativity is there. All of the, and that forward three, whoever they are, should have enough. And everyone keeps going on about, oh yeah, but look what he's done to the defence, look what he's done to the defence, and we're defending so much better, we're defending so much better. You know who had the best defence last year in the league? Burnley. Do you want Arsenal to beat Burnley? Is that what you do? Are we going to sign a Chris Wood and the people like that and start pumping balls? Is that the level that we want? No, because we're Arsenal and you want to be entertained as well. And this comes back to, like you said, about he's going to eventually get pelters. And I don't want to start giving him pelters. However, he is very, very humble and a very astute guy. But he's got Ferraris in his garages, and because he doesn't want to show off, he drives the Kia. I'm like, no, you won two trophies. You got jet black hair, even though you're coming to an age where most people don't have jet black hair still. You're a very good looking man. You've earned the right to have those Ferraris. Drive the Ferraris. Like we keep saying, take that handbrake off and just bomb forward with the players that you have. Because we will if we be bold and be brave, eviscerate these teams, because this league is mental. Look at Aston Villa. They beat Liverpool 7-2 because they just went rule book, rip, let's go.
And then they just lost 3-0 to Leeds. And but I'm watching that Aston Villa Leeds game, and both sides.
I agree. It's a seesaw.
But both sides are attacking in numbers. They're running through the lines. They're taking risks. And when I watch us, it's all very pedestrian, very sedentary in almost every game.
We can do it.
Of course we can, but we have to
break off. We'll be fine. Honestly, we'll be fine.
We have to start to see that progression, And it's not always, like you said, it's not always about personnel as such. It's just about collectively, we need to allow them the freedom to express and trust with the players in behind to take each other on one-on-one or whatever it's going to be. You're going to lose the ball. It's not always going to work out, but you've got to trust recovery speed. You've got to trust the players in behind. And I think we're getting to the point where we can do that now with the type of players that we brought in. Gabriel looked fantastic again yesterday. I mean, I think he's been our best player almost every game this season, which is quite incredible. I don't want to, touch wood. But should we look ahead, Neil? Should we look ahead? We've got Ash Gallagher, @Ash_Gallagher. Good win. Good that we got the win. Obviously, not terrific performance, but good to see us bounce back from 1-0 down when we really looked like we weren't creating much, didn't really run out of ideas a little bit. And it was an awful goal to concede and not great time as well. Looking forward, Ash says, what's your lineup formation predicted score for the Leicester game? I know you don't like lineups, so I'll make it a little bit easy for you. Give me your front three and your middle three. I think the back five picks itself, to be honest. By that, I'm saying, Leno, Bellerin, Tierney, Gabriel, Luis. I don't really see any changes there. The only caveat to it is let's presume that Willian and Ceballos are fit. I think they're touch and go. They're 50-50, the pair of them. Let's be positive, which is never a good idea for Arsenal fitness issues, but let's be positive and presume that Willian and Ceballos are fit. What would your sort of middle three, front three be, depending on how we line up for the Leicester game? Because it's really, after the disappointing result at City, some will say it's expected. It's really a game that we have to win. We have to win this game.
I'm going to go for Pepe on
this
the right. Front three. Aubameyang in the middle. And I'm actually going to go with... I could say Willian down there, but I'm going to say Saka.
And then your middle three, if we play a back four, which for me, it's looking more and more visible that we are.
Martinez goes without saying, mate. Do you know what? I don't think you will, because it's Leicester. But I think Elneny's earned his place alongside Partey.
And then your third player.
I've gone off again. Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, it looks like you're cut off on your end. Neil will come back. Oh, you're back. So you said Partey, Elneny, and your third player maybe in front of them would be...
I think Ceballos.
Okay, Partey, Elneny, Ceballos. That's interesting, because I was going to say, a three like that, where Ceballos was. If you look, I've not looked at the stats, but the guy threading balls from deep, I mean, go back to the Leicester home game last season, who created it was Ceballos. I mean, if you're talking about a player that's going to thread balls between lines, I'm not talking about playing in a number 10. I'm just saying maybe Partey and even Jack Royal Nenny next to him allows him to just be a little bit more, but basically create open space. When he plays for Spain, it's very interesting, Ceballos. He plays higher up, right? And a little bit higher up, and they trust him to play higher up as well, which is quite interesting. And I think he's got that ability to thread those balls between the lines. I mean, create the one against West Ham. I think, almost every game this season, at Anfield, who was the guy creating those chances? It all came from Ceballos. I think he only played 30 minutes, didn't he? So if Ceballos is fit, basically what I'm saying is he's playing.
Yeah.
That's basically what we're saying.
Yeah. Right? I think it'll be Xhaka, but I think Elneny, I wouldn't be surprised if he does give Elneny a go, because he's done nothing wrong. And I think 3-1.
Yeah. Ash also asked, and you said you would play. I think, Mike, would you agree with that sort of lineup for the game? It's a massive game.
Yeah. I'll go with the same as Neil's one. Yeah, but just the toss-up between Xhaka and Elneny, I think, is probably the one. But yeah, I think we said the last pod or pod before, I think we've just him being there will allow Ceballos to play a little bit further forward, and it'd be interesting to see him, you know, playing that closer to Aubameyang and the other two either side. I think the only time we've probably seen him do that was when he first came, and he had that, obviously, that great performance against Burnley when everyone was going crazy. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see him just play a little bit closer to the danger area, threading those balls through. And obviously, if he isn't fit, and Willian is, you probably think Willian will get in there. But then if Willian isn't fit, then you could probably go with Xhaka and have Partey in there as well, and just let him disrupt things a little bit, just you know, because he's got a great shot on him as well. So that'd be interesting to see him play a little bit closer. So he's got the options there. But as long as it means that we can look at a side and, you know, creating chances, because as we always know, if we create chances, we're going to score goals. If we're not creating chances like we haven't, it's just going to be a horrible watch, and it's going to be really... But if we create chances, we know with the guy we've got at the top end, we're going to win, obviously, more games than we're going to lose. So I'll go with Neil central.
Do you think? I know you'd go with that, but do you think he will go with Aubameyang central? I mean, he's not really started him central yet. I mean, we saw it late on against Sheffield United. So, if that's unlikely,
I'd only say I mean, I think what going on last night, you know, Eddie obviously playing that left didn't really do himself any favours, and Lacazette didn't either. I think Leicester have got their centre back, one of their centre backs, key ones, he's out injured. But I just think with it all goes from Partey, because he's in there now, and he will be such a influence on both sides of the ball. I think, you know, you've got to start playing him. What are you going to wait for? Why wouldn't you play him central against Leicester City? What would be the reason playing him out left against Leicester City at home? You know, if you want to talk the talk, you've got to, you know, these are the games that we need to play our players in the right positions, in the right form, in you know, not square pegs and round holes, whatever. We've got to play, you know, be as strong as possible. You know, so that's the spine first and foremost, and then either side of that, let that worry itself. But if you've got people like Aubameyang and Partey close to each other, and that's what you want, you want them to be doing that, then I think we'll be all right. But if you're sticking him out on the left, and then that makes it easy for people to double him up and close him off, like people have found out, because people, the analysis for games is through the roof now, so they would have seen what he'd done towards the end of the season, his performance in the cup final, his goal against City. People are gonna prepare for that. You saw Liverpool did that. You saw City did that. You know, they've got good players to pull that off. But other teams are going to do that as well. You know, Sheffield United did to a certain extent until he moved centrally. So, you know, just put him there. Let's just go for it now. I think we have to go for it now. You know, we're not playing. You know, we've got the two big ones out of the way. Let's impose ourselves and show, you know, who we are really.
Yeah, exactly. And would you do anything different, James, for this lineup?
Well, so are you asking me what I want, or what I think is going to happen?
Well, you can say what you want, and then you just let me.
Okay, so
it's going to be different. I presume the Aubameyang central is probably where you get unstuck with what you think you want and what might happen.
So what I want is the back four. And then the three in the middle. I've assuming, like you said, that Ceballos and Willian are out. I would like Xhaka and Partey next to one another, because I believe that is going to be the best partnership. I think they're the two that are going to be the one to play. And then from that, you can play them as somewhat of both, somewhat four and a number six together, and then have Ceballos as just in front of that as well as an eight, or you can play Xhaka and Partey together as like a midfield pivot. And then for me, for this Leicester game, I know he's absolutely cream crackered, and this is why I think he's going to be dropped, and it's actually going to be a back five, sadly. But I would like to see Saka as a number 10. I would like Saka in the hole, because Leicester's spine is out. So Soyuncu is done, and Didi is done, and there is Vardy potentially not playing this game.
He'll play.
I think he'll probably play, because I'm like, he always scores against Arsenal. He always scores.
Yeah, he'll play.
But
I look at Soyuncu and Ndidi being gone, and I just think it's going to be Johnny Evans and the new guy, I think it's Fofana, who is brilliant, by the way, because he played with Saliba. He was his partner last year for St Etienne, and they were brilliant together. That Fofana's a really, really good player. But I just think Saka will draw them out, and that will leave gaps in behind. So if with Pepe and Aubameyang, I think Pepe's going to stay on the left. I think it's going to be Lacazette down the middle. I know everybody wants Aubameyang in the middle, but Saka will draw them out and leave. But also, why I want Saka at 10 is I really rate his upper body strength and his gusto and his guile. And I just think to myself, as someone who can push further, you know, since Aaron Ramsey's gone, we've not really had that guy from deep that pushes beyond the striker. And I think Saka, if he can do that really well, instead of just playing him out wide, I think if you put him through the middle, he can be a real nuisance for teams. And these next two league games are where I think if you put him at a 10, he'll be lethal, because like I said, he's got Johnny Evans and this Fofana who he can bring out. And then the week after, okay, he had a brilliant game versus Newcastle, but it's Maguire, and we all know what Maguire's like at the moment. The guy's touch and go. And I really, he could be an absolute nuisance at number 10. So that's what I want, but I think it's going to be the old Leno, Bellerin, Luiz, Gabriel, Tierney, Ainsley, Maitland, Niles at left wing back, and then it's all from there.
Really? Well, yeah. He's not played, is he, Ainsley, Maitland, Niles? So yeah,
I think Saka might make the bench because he is absolutely cream crackered. Because I think it was you again on the last podcast when you said the whole reliance on this team creating is on an 18-year-old boy. And there's nothing wrong with that because he's a brilliant 18-year-old boy. He's sensational. But it literally is, this guy is carrying the team on his back.
Yeah, I was slightly upset he started again in the Europa League. I just felt, you know, give Nelson some minutes. He looked really encouraging the last League Cup game. We've kept him, so give him some minutes here. I don't think it was risky to give him minutes in a high left position when Aubameyang was out, play him in that high sort of left wing position. I felt we sort of missed an opportunity to maybe give a youngster some minutes there, but Arteta knows what he's doing. But just before I get your predictions, my prediction or my hope, and I don't think I'll get it right at all, was you said you think you start Lacazette. I actually would want to start Lacazette for the reasons that I said, even though he looks way off the pace.
Yeah, I agree.
I would start him simply because it's a big game, and I get the feeling if we're going to get a goal, it's either going to be him or Aubameyang. So that's why I would start him. I don't think we're creatively there yet to be able to move beyond the guys that are going to get you a goal out of one or two chances. I think the likelihood is in this game is that we create very little like we've done all season, because that's the evidence suggests that. No matter who we've played against, we haven't created very much. We've created 10 or 11 shots per game, which is very, very low for a team like ours to be challenging. So have your guys that can finish them off. Do you know what I mean? I like the idea of Saka in the 10, because I think, well, I don't necessarily think always, you know, he's got that, he does have the ability to make the pass, but I think he has the ability to just draw people out because he can run with the ball. He just fire with the ball and run with the ball and draw people out of their defensive shape. And I think he's got a little bit more movement than Willian and can provide an energy. What I hope we don't see is the false nine. I hope we don't see the false nine. We saw Willock come on in the false nine, by the way, late on in this Europa League game. He also said that Willian knows it can work against City, even though it didn't work at all. I do not want to see a Willian in a false nine for a home game against Leicester. Please don't do that. I really don't want to do that. I really hope you're right, Pepe starts, because I felt he did okay, better than a lot of people think in this game. And I think the more you play him, the better he'll get. So I would do Ceballos and Partey, because I personally think, other than Partey, Ceballos is our best midfielder by some long shot. And I see more progression from Ceballos. So I feel it's more, and I also see more ability to sort of intercept and tackle, to be honest, than I'd see from Xhaka. So I'd play Ceballos, Partey, Saka. I'd play Pepe, Laka, Orba, and keep Orba out left personally. But what's your prediction, Neil? What did you say? You said 3-1, did you? And your first score, did you give me a first score or did I miss it?
I did, it was over.
Well, hopefully that goal.
Yes.
Really helped
him again.
And not just the goal, Neil. He looked very lively, which is, I don't think he's a confidence player anyway, so I wasn't that concerned. If you ever want a tap in for Aubameyang, that was the moment that you wanted it. You know, just
it was perfect. It was very reminiscent to that one that Lacazette scored against Wolves that got him kind of back in again.
Yeah.
And I think Oba will score. And I know, James, you're right. I've got a gut feeling he's still going to play him on the left. However, I'd love to see him play central, and I'd love to see him score from that position, from a through ball from Partey. Oh, perfect.
Perfect. Dreams. What dreams are made of. Mike, what was your prediction? 3-1 and all above for Neil?
2-0 and Aubameyang.
Clean sheet.
Yeah.
2-0 Aubameyang. James, what's your prediction?
Well, seeing as I think the formation's going to be the back five, I think it's going to be really nervy, and it's going to be another 2-1. I think it's going to be a nervous 2-1 to us.
Nervous 2-1. Oh, it's okay. You're back 3's Tierney, yeah, Gabriel and Luis.
I'm going to go for Gabriel. I think it's going to be a set piece. I think we're going to get a set piece. You know, like how Welbeck got the header in that year that we thought we were going to win the league.
Oh God, don't say that. So yeah, my heart's already out.
I know. Sorry. But I think it's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be a late one. And we're going to get like another, like the Europa League one. I think we're just going to whip one in, and it's going to be Gabriel who gets on the end of it. So,
yeah. We have to win. I'm going to say 2-1 as well. We'll stick with that. I'll say 2-1 as well. I'm going to say Pepe first goal.
Neil made a great point when he said about that goal, though, because Aubameyang's never had a drought for us. And he went 6 weeks without. So
I think it was 4 games before that. That was the most. Yeah. So it was a little bit more.
And the other one was when he missed the penalty at White
Hart
Lane, and then the next game we got one, didn't he? And Lacazette went, no, go on. And Lacazette was very unsettled because he needed to score a penalty because he was devastated when he missed that one at Wembley.
Yeah,
and look at him when he's been at Wembley since. He's been sensational, so.
Yeah. It's a massive game. If we want our chances, I am getting a little bit frustrated watching those early days, but other teams just free flowing, scoring 3-4-5. I'm not going to mention who, but 3-4-5s, in games, and watching us, 30-40 minutes in, difficulties creating a chance. And I think we all believe in Arteta, but we're at this transition point.
It's coming. Someone's getting spanked in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Don't let it be us.
No. I'm not saying who it's going to be from. Someone's on the end of a hiding, because I'm telling you, it's
Man United.
Someone's getting a hiding, and it's good. And when it happens, we're all going to sit here and go, oh wow, now we're ready to go.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, fingers crossed. Early days in the season, I think this is a must-win game, especially after how we did away from home in the 2 big ones. We'll be back on, I think, Monday now, because it's a Sunday night game, very odd time, 7:15. So we'll be back Monday. Try to watch us on YouTube. We're on there. Our link's posted. It's on our Twitter page, at Purely Arsenal FP. Thank you to Ash Gallagher, David Ken, Kenyeda, Simon Burridge, Melvin Marks, and anyone else that asked a question that I am forgetting here. I think there's one person I'm forgetting that asked a question, but appreciate all your questions. And we're on the normal podcast app, Spotify, iTunes, etc. Give us a review on iTunes or on YouTube, comment, that'd be great. Appreciate it. And we'll be back Monday, hopefully, to talk about 3 points and a top performance. Not asking for too much, I don't think, is it?
Come on, Arsenal.
Come on, Arsenal. Come on, boys.
Come on, you Reds.
All right.